Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Those projects where you dive into something and you think, what was I thinking? So I fixed the slide, by the way. It's now a letter to Resilient Church for those that were really bothered last week with my spelling mistake. But today we're going to dive into this, the realm of Christ. I was thinking of what you just said there. Every time I'd wash my face in the sink in our ensuite, I'd bend down and splash my face and I'd get this whiff of, oof, something stinks. And I'd go, and then one day I realized it's probably something in the pipes or something, you know. And I kept thinking, I got to get to that. And I don't know how long went by, but I finally, on a day off, I got my tools. I went underneath this crazy IKEA plastic stuff and I pulled everything out, and then I grab these pipes and pull them out. I mean, you know, talk about aroma. It's the stenchy kind of aroma, not that nice kind of aroma. But clean it up. But how nice it is to get rid of that stuff, right? To get rid of that, to have that beautiful smell of cleanliness, of you know, that cleaner that you use that's got that lemon scent and things like that. It's just so much more. In fact, smells affect all of us, don't they? You know, I was thinking as I prepared for this sermon talking about aroma, I couldn't help but think about how much smells impacts all our lives. The moment I talked to a couple of people, we're going to be talking about aroma, about smells. Do you smell good? Instantly, I got like three stories from each person, because immediately smells just evoke stories, don't they? They trigger memories. Right? How many can, if I, you know, gave a scent and said to you, does it trigger a memory? Cedar. Anyone get a memory? Anyone think of something, you know? Fir trees. Yeah? Christmas maybe, you know, or something. For me, cedar, I grew up in a house made of cedar. It was all cedar. There was only one wall had drywall. All the rest is cedar tongue and groove on the roof, cedar shakes on top of them, cedar walls, cedar tongue and groove walls. And so we crank a fire on, turn on the heat, and all of a sudden that cedar just is everywhere. And so I can't smell cedar without being taken back to my bedroom, taken back to that space that is so familiar to me. They just evoke memories that come to us. How about of those of you that have certain smells that you just can't handle? Yeah, any of you ladies remember being pregnant? Was there a smell that drove you nuts? Was there coffee? Oh, isn't that terrible? Yeah, have you ever done that where you got sick and then you smell coffee and for some reason you just go, oh, and you're just praying, Lord, please don't let this be permanent, you know? Because for others, you take a big whiff of coffee and it's like, oh, that smells so good, you know? Yeah, you got that. How many of you are cilantro adverse? You just can't handle cilantro. That smell, that taste, there's apparently genetic reasons behind that. Like there are certain people genetically are predisposed to distaste and hate cilantro. If they taste it in something, they just get sick. And it's apparently genetic. It's not just a person, not just a, well, I don't like it kind of thing. Flower sprays. Do any of you guys love those scents that they put in? Those, what do you call those? Glade plug-ins and stuff. Some of you got those in your home? Some of you do. Some of you don't. Some of you love it, and some of you don't love it, right? You know, it's just everybody has a different idea. What is smell? Makes you breathe so deeply so you can take it all in. Imagine a smell right now, and you're just like, oh, that. What is it? What is it? Pardon? Bakery. Oh, yeah. I'm there with you right now. Who else? Pardon? I missed it. A new car. Yeah, a new car smell. Who else has got one? The lake? Going to the lake? Right? A restaurant? Yeah, you go into especially your favorite restaurant where you walk in. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Pardon? A barn smell. You know what? People say to me, horses are, I can't stand the horse smell. But if I love cows. If I go by a farm, and there's cows there, and even that smell of cow manure, you know, that's there. Oh, that's just like, hey, we each have our own thing, okay? I just love that farm smell. I don't know. I grew up in a farm. Yeah, okay, might be too much. I grew up in a farm, so I know that feeling. Yeah, there are certain smells. I'm just telling you that we all are affected by aromas. We're all affected by smells. It's a huge part of our life. So it's no wonder that it finds its way into the Bible, and in particular, this passage in 2 Corinthians that Paul brings to us as he waxes into this area of us being a pleasing aroma to God. He's describing the effects of a life that's been transformed by Christ. We just heard it where, you know, you allow the Holy Spirit detergent to come and cleanse you and change you. And there's the aroma changes. And the Bible talks about how when Christ comes in and saves you, cleanses you, and then the Holy Spirit abides in you, there becomes a new aroma that makes its way up to God, and it's pleasing. And it's wonderful. His reflection in this passage in chapter 2 we're going to be at, starting verse 12, his reflection in this area is in his own ministry. I mean, Paul starts talking about ministry. He starts talking about what he's called to and who he is and how ministry works. But as he shares, it's clear he's talking not just about himself, but maybe the other apostles. And I think by reference to all of us, who are called by God to be his ministers, there's this idea that he evokes about his own life, but it becomes a good lesson for all of us. So today we're going to look at this text to see how Paul smelled so good. And we're going to be excited because we're going to learn how we can smell real good too. I just thought of another one. A freshly bathed newborn baby. Oh, who doesn't like just, oh, isn't that a great one? Not always. They got the other side. But, but a newborn baby, man, that's something good about that. Okay, we can talk about this Jack and Jill shower thing. I'm a little scared. Are you guys scared about this? Because I always think, do I want to go to a shower? What are they going to do there? They do stuff. They sit around. They look at gifts, and I'm supposed to go ooh and ah and everything. So I join Evan. Evan, you got to make sure us guys are looked after, okay? Okay. I'll let go of my fears on that. So here is the text we're going to take a look at, okay? He starts with this. Now, I went to Troas. I'm going to run it from here, Erwin, just to try it, okay? I think I got it working this time. I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. So remember, just a quick reminder, Paul has been in Ephesus. He's been dealing with Corinth. He sent a really harsh letter to them because of nonsense that was going on. And in fact, he was originally going to go to Corinth and then go from there up to Macedonia and back again. But he decided, you know what, I'm not going to Corinth. I'm going to go to Troas and go up through the ocean, across the sea, and then come my way down. And hopefully by the time I get down to Corinth, all this nonsense is dealt with, right? So he sends a letter, a tough love letter with Titus. And then he says, Titus, come and join me on my trip. I'll be heading up to Troas and from there up to Macedonia. Try to join me at Troas if you can. And so he sends him off, and then later Paul goes up to Troas, and a door of opportunity. He's waiting for Titus, but a door of opportunity came about. He started preaching, and people were getting saved. Stuff was happening, but the whole time, in the back of his head, he's just thinking, where's Titus? I want to hear what happened. What's going on in Corinth? It's in the back of his head. And he's sitting there in Troas, wondering what is happening. And Troas is kind of like Vancouver. It's a port city, right? And like the trains that run from Alberta and come all the way across into Vancouver, and they unload and go by sea. Troas is that city. All the stuff's coming all the way across Asia Minor and across into Asia is coming its way. And Troas is one of those key ports where things land and people get on ships and go from there to the other parts of the world. So it's a pretty major hub. And he's thinking that'd be a good place to meet up with Titus. And so he waits there for a bit, but he decides, you know what? I got to move on. I need to get to Macedonia. Hopefully Titus will meet me there. And then he dives, all of a sudden, he dives into something completely different. He's talking about how excited he is to and how anxious he is to see Troas. And then, way down in chapter 7, he goes back to the story of Titus meeting him. So I was really hoping I'd see him Troas, but he didn't. So I'm going to go to Macedonia, hope I see him there, and then jump to chapter 7, where he goes, and I was so glad that Troas was there. Titus was there. He's so excited that Titus was there. But why does he jump all these chapters, like 4+ chapters, before he gets back to the story? Well, these 4 chapters become some of the most precious words that Paul has written. They become this very vulnerable, expressing his ideas of Christ. And it appears as though he's writing this from Macedonia, and it's after he has met up with Titus. He's got the good report, and it gets him so excited, he grabs a piece of paper, and he starts writing the story out, and he interrupts the recounting of the tale with 4 chapters of teaching. So he goes from, I was really hoping to see Titus, and then he simply goes to that next section, but, and from the but all the way for 4 chapters, we get this parenthetical, you know, writing. But thanks be to God, who is always leading us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. So let's just walk through that little bit for a minute. Paul uses the imagery of triumphal parade by a conquering general. It would have been common back in Rome, of course, when the generals went out, like Caesar Augustus, we'll use. He's the emperor for a while, and because he gets to be the emperor, he then, after his term, his term of office, he then gets his pick of areas to go and fight, which was the real reason you wanted to be the emperor. You don't make money being the emperor. You make money being given a place to go conquer and take as much gold and plunder as you want. That's where you make your money. So he made his way to the emperor spot, and then he goes, I want Gaul. He wants France. He's going to go and take an army. So he raises an army. You know, he's hiring guys. I'll promise you a chunk of the prize. He gets an army, goes, and of course, he was a very victorious general, and he wins lots of slaves and plunder and gold and all kinds of things. And he comes back finally to Rome, and they would have come back to Rome with their army and everything, and then they're supposed to stop. You're not allowed to cross the Rubicon. Right? You don't cross the Rubicon with your army. That's seen by a very democratic society, such as Rome was, as being you bringing your army in here. That's a bit scary. You're like a dictator, and we don't want martial law here. So you stay there. Well, of course, Caesar crosses the Rubicon, and he scares everybody. But in the end, he has to be welcomed into the city. And at that point, when you're welcomed into the city, that's when you make the parade. That's when your soldiers clean up their armor and they get going. They put all the slaves in front of them. They carry the plunder. And you've seen scenes on movies probably of this. But imagine the pomp and circumstance that's in the minds of people as they imagine what it would be like to see one of those victorious parades. And Paul then uses this imagery, and he uses it in several different places as well in the Bible, where he talks about Christ walking in triumphal procession, and Paul sees himself as a captive in that triumphal procession. He sees himself as a captive, which is strange, right? But is it strange? I mean, look how Paul describes himself. In Romans 5 and 6, he says, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Paul often equates us as the captives. We're the ones who are the slaves of Christ. We're the ones who are the enemies of God. Christ's victorious work was to come into the kingdom of Satan, and there he leads out captives, and I am one of those captives. Paul says, I'm one of those captives. I was led out, but instead of it being the negative kind where you're sold into slavery and you've lost everything, he's talking about how joyful he is that he was liberated. And now he is a slave of Christ, and he's happy to be a slave of Christ. So it's just interesting to note that Paul often sees this, and maybe in this story that we have in front of us with this text, it might be that that's what Paul's thinking, that we are captives being carried forth, out, but we're not sad, we're actually happy, you know, we're gladly following Christ in this triumphal parade. Ephesians 4, he talks about it again, where he talks about giving gifts, leading a processional. What a king would do is bring gifts, or a general would bring gifts to the king. Come into Rome, and you give the emperor gifts, and you give the king some plunder, and you say, hey, this is what I've done on your behalf. So Christ comes before God the Father, and he says, this is what I've done, and I present to you this tribute, and part of that tribute is you and I. We are the ones being presented to God as that. And then Christ talks about how when he got there and he stands before the Father, he says, I gave out gifts. I liberally spread out gifts to the people, to us, to the church. You can read about that in Ephesians 4. There is other times when he talks about leading captives, like the going down into Hades and leading captive the fallen angels or those who are gone, and he holds them and he makes a spectacle of them. There's that part as well. But we have to just look. This imagery has been great, but today it is used in the idea of we as people coming and how it becomes a pleasing aroma to God. And that's where I wanted to really focus in on, was this idea that it becomes a pleasing aroma to God. So I'm just going to make a quick couple of notes on this aroma. Number one, God chooses to enlist us to spread the aroma everywhere. So we're coming, Christ leads us before the Father. The Father takes in a deep breath, and what he smells is beautiful. He smells Christ and all his activity. He smells and he smells the freedom. He smells the stench is gone. Fresh air. As the people no longer tainted by sin are brought before him, washed in the robe of righteousness. And you know, so there's a picture of, he's like this. And then it says, he chooses to send us out everywhere and allow that aroma to go everywhere. Kind of like when Jesus said, go to every corner, go to all nations and preach the gospel. God's, it's a repeat of that commissioning. Go to everywhere, every corner of the world, and allow this aroma to waft around the place and let other people smell it. The aroma is defined here not as cedar, not as roses or flowers, but as the knowledge of God. The aroma of the knowledge of God. So that's what we're presenting as we walk around, the idea that you can know God. But then, thirdly, he says, it's the essence of Christ, the aroma of Christ. Well, is it the knowledge of God or is it the aroma of Christ? Well, I don't think it's hard for us to see them as contradictory, because what was the purpose of Christ? Make God known. In Hebrews, it talks about how in times past we have seen God through the work of the prophets and how they gave us the prophetic, and then there was the law that was given out to us. And so God has been revealing himself. The knowledge of God is being revealed to other people. to us through these various means, but then in Christ is the ultimate knowing of God. When you Jesus said, "Do you know me? Then you know the Father." So it is absolutely fair to interchange these words and say this aroma is the knowledge of God. It's also the aroma of Christ, because the two share that same quality. And then lastly, the aroma is pleasing, but not to everyone. Not to everyone, right? There are those people who they're not looking for a Savior. There are people in our world that are quite content with where they are. They're happy to be the boss of their own world. And they live with a delusion from Satan that everything is great and that they're in charge. And we know they're not, because their world comes crashing down so easily. And Satan pulls the rug out from underneath them and they're caught in despair. But, you know, there are many who live under the blinding. Paul gets to that soon about how the God of this age has blinded their eyes and they don't understand just how not in control they are. But they think they are. They think they got it good. I'm happy, you know. And then you come with the aroma of Christ and they go, "Oh, get that away from me." It says to those who are perishing, it's death. It's hard to imagine this beautiful aroma of Christ would be a stench in the nose of other people. But that's what this scripture tells us. It upsets their dream world. It exposes the reality of their situation. So it's the smell of death. And people are living in that. And they're calling it good. That's the struggle. But to those who are leaning in, to those who are looking, to those that understand their condition and they're realizing something's not right, you come walking in. You're like, "What is that? I need that. Something smells good here. Tell me about your life. What's going on?" You know, there's this, you know, it leads and it attracts them, and there's something I got to lean into. It's the aroma of Christ, and we let it go. And to them who are being saved, and I'm saying anywhere on that road of discipleship, anywhere that you are, even if you're not yet saved and you're just trying to figure it out and you're starting to look at Christ, it is life. And if you've been saved for 50 years, it's still the aroma of life, right? So anywhere on that discipleship trail, to those who are being saved, this is a beautiful aroma. And then Paul returns in the scripture just at the very end there with this idea of who is up to this. Who is equal to such a task? Who is equal to such a task? And I just think in that context, Paul is recognizing, if you think about how can I go and be a pleasing aroma to this world? How can I do that? How would I be able to make that happen? Who's up to such a task? He's thinking about himself as an apostle. How can I go to the Gentile world and be a pleasing aroma of God? You know, I have so many faults and I have so many failures and I have so many things that, you know, that I just definitely cannot brag about. And yet you're going to call me to be the aroma of Christ. Who is up to such a task? It's a challenge. But the answer, of course, is no one. In our humanity, we stink. We got BO, right? And BO is not fun to be around. I had a friend who had a problem, halitosis, I think they call it, where he has bad breath constantly. And he just smells. You get around him and you're always kind of like trying to be, you know, it's high school and everybody kind of stinks in high school, right? But you're with this guy and he kind of smelled. And then he got a girlfriend. And I remember he got this girlfriend. And me and my buddy go, "I don't know how she stands it. How does she kiss him?" Like, it was just hard. And then we came to discover she has no smell. And we laughed. We said, "This is perfect. A match made in heaven." We on our own don't really have much to offer in the way of pleasing aromas. Who is up to it? It is those. And Paul's going to go into this in chapter 3 because he's going to start talking about how great the Spirit is. He's going to start talking about how powerful it is to have the Spirit of God in you versus the letter that kills, versus the law, which was just always leaving us stinking, but rather the Spirit of God. There's something about this Spirit of God that we are going to take a look at. So I'm going to suggest for us there's some activities for us to follow in this theme. I'm going to take you back for a sec. How many of you remember high karate? You got to be an old timer. It came out in the 60s, man, and it stopped. I don't know when, so I don't expect any young people to remember this. Apparently made a resurgence about 5, 10, 6 years ago in UK. But high karate, and I loved it because I never owned it, but I loved it because the commercials were the best. Okay, you remember the commercials? The guy gets high karate, he's walking by in a restaurant, and this girl goes, and she's just like looking around. What is it? And she goes after this guy, and he's like, what are you doing? Ah! And she's chasing him down because of the smell. She can't resist it. And so he goes, hi-ya! And he's doing all these karate moves to stop this woman from coming on him. And they called it high karate. And honestly, the commercials were so good. They sold karate with instructions on how to use it carefully, and you should learn these moves. When she leans in on you, you go with this, and you grab that, and you get her in a chokehold, and they sold it. It was funny. High karate. Like, talk about over-bragging your aftershave, that thinking that it's going to cause this. But you know what? It's probably sold like crazy just from the commercials. I'll tell you something. I'm telling you something that we need. I think the aroma of Christ, if it's not from us, then it's something we take in. It's something we apply into our life, or we put on. So I'm going to suggest to you that we should have some instructions with this one, because just like high karate, the aroma of Christ is powerful, and it has an effect on people. And I think you should be ready for the fallout of what's going to happen. Okay, so, you know, right away, get rid of the delusions that girl's going to fall in love with you. That's not where this story's going to go. But the impact you could make in your world if you use this right. And so I'm just going to give you these, and I won't take long on these things, but I'm just going to give you what I came up with is three instructions we can do. Number one is apply liberally before leaving home, right? Don't lean on your own BO. You just assume it's not good, okay? And hey, this is not bad new news to anyone because, you know, most of you guys put underarm deodorant on. Most of you, right? And some of you should. okay, I won't tell you who you are, but no, you're going to do something like that. We all get it, right? Life is like that. But we can do something. We can put on Eau de Christos, this fancy, fragrant perfume. And we should apply it liberally in our day, right? So that when we go around sharing with other people, we're going to allow the aroma of Christ to be that which attracts them, not our own. I said that to the worship team this morning. I said, when you guys go out there, you're going to be the aroma of Christ. So you may feel like in your own self, you may have nothing to offer. You may feel you had a bad week, and who am I to stand up here and lead worship? Or you may feel like I'm an amazing musician, and you think you're going to wow us with your own, I call it aroma. You know, that doesn't work. Not for the effect of spiritual power that we need. It's going to be, we need to be in that prayer room saying, Holy Spirit, use us now. Let the aroma of Christ come from this team that's here. That's what we do. And we need to do that. We need to apply it liberally. I would suggest that you do devotions in the morning. I would suggest that you create a daily office that is a pattern whereby you have certain routines that you incorporate into your day. The ancient monks called them the daily office. But there were routines that you put into your life that allow you to stay centered in Christ. So it might be that I'm going to stop at 10 o'clock and pray. It might be at noon, you'll take a walk. It might be before you go to bed, you do a reflection or you do an examine. You know, there are various practices you can do, but you apply these disciplines to your life so that it's like splashing on, you know, that aroma. You're taking time to allow yourself to be surrendered to God and let Christ come in. And this is what becomes beautiful. So you can't just rush into your day consumed with all that you got to do and make it all about you. Right? You might even be successful, but the odor you emit is not going to be that great. But if you stop and you breathe in and you take a moment, you say, Christ, use me today. Christ, may this day be honoring to you. And you read a scripture, something transforms in your life, and you say, thank you, Lord. Let me go and live that aroma in my home, in my workplace, in my school. I've started doing Nick's slow journey through John. So some of you did it last year when he was inventing it and putting it together, and nearly burned him out doing it last year, 345 or 350 podcasts that he did. But I started doing it, and wow, just in the first week, I'm like, you know, Nick's got a gift in that area. But it's such a beautiful way of just 10 minutes, breathe deeply, slow down. That's what we need, a little word of God, slow down, a little prayer, and Lord, direct me in this day. What you want me to do this day, then go about your day. That's what we're talking about. That's how we apply it liberally, is by applying those kinds of activities that allow us to bring in the aroma of Christ or let it shine through us. And the second area is don't let the stock run out, okay? Don't let it run too low. Gets down low there, you're starting to go, oh no. I had a great cologne I loved. It was Cartier. Came in a little leather sleeve and everything. And I think I paid like $75 for one little bottle like this back 1980 or something. And I used that stuff, man. I just loved it. But it was getting low. I was like, no, I can't afford anymore to buy that stuff. It's like $200-something now. And they don't even make that flavor anymore. And it's like so hard to find a good cologne. I'm like, oh, it's gone. It's gone. I don't have it anymore. And I'm thinking, it would sure be nice if I could have had an endless supply of that. Sure, it'd be nice if I could just go grab another bottle, make sure I keep that stock up. And I think the same goes with us, you know, that you can apply Christ to you, but if you think one morning of daily devotions is going to cut it, it's not. You need to apply it every day. And after a week or so, you realize my stock is running low because daily devotions is not enough for you to maintain a vibrant spiritual walk with God. It's not. People say, well, I don't need the church. I can just be a Christian on my own. Actually, it's pretty tough. There's something about us coming together. And in this case, we even see community as part of the process here because the Trinity is at work. God sends the Son and gives him the commission to go and redeem people. Christ returns victorious in leading the captives, coming before God the Father, and it's pleasing aroma to him, the Father and the Son, in this beautiful relationship. And then it says the Spirit comes and makes Christ known in us. That verse that has been our theme verse this year, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How is that possible? God poured out his Holy Spirit on the church, and he said, I pour out my Holy Spirit. And Paul said in Ephesians, he said, keep on being filled with the Spirit. The practice of people was to get drunk and drink. He said, stop getting drunk. Stop drinking. Stop making that your go-to. No, you need to become a little bit addicted to the Holy Spirit. I say that in a, you know, tongue-in-cheek kind of way, but you need to just have this craving where I need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm calling getting restocked. I'm saying keep on being replenished by the Holy Spirit. To me, this is the gathering of God's people. This is when we come together. And why it says, when you come together, there in the midst of you will I be. The Shekinah glory will be there. There is something powerful about gathering with God's people on Sunday morning. And folks, I want to tell you something. If you think, let's just get to the message so we can be done and go home, you've missed the point. There's something about and sometimes discipline, because you just don't always feel like it, okay? You don't always feel. You don't come in at 9:30 in the morning, especially when you're rushing in and this and that's been happening. But there is a moment, the start of the service, where you need to just stop. Jordan gives a call to worship, or the worship team, whoever's leading, gives a call to worship. That's that moment where you're supposed to stop and go, yeah, why are we here? And this is the time for 20, 30 minutes where we take and we just worship God, that we can pray, Lord, fill me again. Rain down. And we do that every Sunday. And we're not just passing time. We're not just trying to have fun until we get to the message. We're actually experiencing something critical for us to carry the aroma of Christ, and that is to come and get filled again. So when you come, don't just get distracted. Don't just look around and wonder what's going on. Make it a discipline point to stop and just stand there and say, Lord, today, come and fill me again. And maybe it's something in the song, maybe as you're singing, but oftentimes, you know, you just get that sense of, oh, thank you, God. He just restores to you. He replenishes you. And I call that getting restocked. It's like you're getting filled again. Now go enjoy your week now. See how much greater it is. And I think 7 days is a great rhythm. That's why I think every seventh day, I think the start of the week is a great rhythm for us to come and say, Lord, fill me again. And there are other times, there's retreats you can do. That's why I think worship nights are so wonderful, and our prayer times, and going out to a conference. When I go to our pastor's conference, Lord, I've been ministering and preaching and such, but I go there, I just want to stand there, and I just want you to come and fill me again. And they'll open up the altar, and I don't even care what the altar call's about. I don't care what the guy was preaching on. Oftentimes it helps, but I like to just go to the front and stand there and just say, Lord, come and fill me again. And oh, man, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, just standing there, just letting the Holy Spirit pour on me. And I'm telling you, I've often, most oftentimes, just standing there weeping and just wave after wave of glory. I'm just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. It's the presence of God. He gives me like vision of his love, vision of how immense it is, how great it is, and it's overwhelming. That's why I'm crying, because it's just, Lord, this is too much. It's overwhelming, and it's an experience. I get it. And it's emotional, I get it. But it's more than just an emotional experience. It's the actual encounter of a relationship with God. Look, folks, you got to seek it. You got to go for it. You got to say, Lord, come and fill me again. Stay stocked up on this aroma of God. And it's beautiful because it's essential oils. That's what you put in your diffuser, essential oils. And you find the one that's good. We're taking the oil of the Holy Spirit, and we're saying, Lord, fill me with that essential oil of the Spirit, and I will be a dispenser. I will be one of those things that, a diffuser. Yeah, I'll be a diffuser. That's all I am. It's the Spirit of God that's doing the work, and I just want it. That's what I want it to be. So keep being stocked up. And then thirdly, of course, we need to give it away. We need to give it away. We should give it away freely. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back on up. And I just want to encourage you. By chapter 5, Paul talks about how we are called to be ambassadors. He talks about us having the ministry of reconciliation. And we've preached on that numerous times. But you can see in this little interaction from when he's excited that he meets with Titus. And he's about to come back to the story of how Titus did come. But in this meantime, he's unpacking his thinking and his thoughts. And he starts with this being a pleasing aroma to God. He's going to come back to this place where, why do we have this? For selfish reasons? No. We've been charged by God in this passage that God uses us to take the aroma everywhere. We're going to be the ministry of God everywhere. And so we're going to go and just give it away freely. We're not going to worry about, I'm not going to take my little Cartier cologne and go, it's mine. Can I have some? No. It's running out. I might run out. No, we're going to say, yeah, have this bottle. Have this bottle. I know where there's a whole warehouse full of them. Don't worry about it. Take it. Don't be stingy with the good things of God. Just share them. Give them away. God will replenish you. God will replenish you. He's got a well of living water, the Bible says, that rises up within you that shall never run dry. So just keep giving it away. You know, that to me is the key. Don't just stock it up. Don't just apply it, but let it go. Let it out. The more you learn to let it go, I think the more the flow goes, the better you smell. I think, personally, that as his DNA starts to get in us, I think it starts to affect even our body odor. And I do think that after discipleship and growing in Christ, you begin to take on the scent of Christ, and I believe you begin to become one with him. As the Bible says, ever-increasing glory, we become like Christ. So let's be the aroma of Christ in this world. And so today as we close, I just want to ask you the question, have you ever received Christ? Because you might have smelled it and you might have said something's good there, but you're actually being called to receive Christ. You're actually being called to say, surrender your life and say, Lord, I'm tired of my stinking life. I'm tired of my living as if I'm in charge of everything. I actually want to just be filled with you. And I want to be able to breathe in deep and enjoy the aroma of a cleansed life. And I want to be that person even. And so if you've never done that today, right now, you should do that. You should just say, Lord, come and fill me. And then come talk to me. I'll talk to you about how you can get baptized in water and make a public confession. But you can come in a moment. In fact, we'll have some prayer people here. And you could go up to them and say, today I want to give my heart to the Lord. Just tell them that. They'll pray with you. They'll lead you in a prayer. And the second would be for us who are the aroma of Christ, I guess just do a little, you know what you do before you leave the house? You know, we do that. That's normal and that's good. It's healthy. It's appropriate. And we should do that in our own lives. We should take a little check and we should just make sure what smell is coming from me. And maybe some of you just need to get filled again. And we sang it earlier, Rain on Me, but maybe just in this next few minutes as the team leads us, let's take these 5 minutes and let's just say, Lord, come and fill me again. Just let that, I want to be a pleasing aroma. I want to be a joy to people around me. I want to let you shine out of me. And so just let it go. Say, Lord, whatever it takes, just come and fill me again. Let's stand together, shall we? Heavenly Father, speak to us in this moment. Speak to us as only you can do, just into the deepest part of our hearts. And I pray for those that have never accepted you, that right now they'd make a decision to welcome you into their life. And I pray, Lord, for those of us who have been serving you for a while, that God, if there be just too long since we've been refilled with the Spirit again, if there's just been too much of our own self driving our lives, I pray, God, in this moment of repentance, may you come and fill us again. And we just want to bring you all the glory. And we want to be a pleasing aroma to you, but we also want to shine and spread the fragrance of your goodness to this whole community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.